The following Dharma talk was recorded in March 2013 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of five recordings from the retreat called Dana, Sila, and Bhavana, A Gradual Path of Awakening, taught by Bridget Rollins and John Yaffe. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. The retreat's teachers, Bridget and John, are co-leaders of the St. Louis Insight Meditation Group. More information about them can be found at www.dharmastl.org.
One of the subtexts of the of this retreat, sort of separate from the overall theme of Dana, Sila, and Bhavana, but very much part of what we're offering this weekend, is to point to the relationship of practice to what the practice is getting at. So we use the same words to describe these, but they're really quite different. So when we talk about Dana or generosity, there's the whole issue of sort of behaviorally training ourselves to be giving and offering. And at the same time, what we're pointing to is a state of mind that has to do with open, both to give and to receive, because there's a requisite relationship that requires both of those. So we learn that we can give to ourselves. We learn that obviously we can give to others, and others can give to us, and we're all interdependent in the relationship. There, if there was not qualities of need in people and in ourselves, there would be no need for nor opportunity to cultivate the parami of generosity. And this is the same thing with metta. Metta, which is really very closely related to generosity. Metta is the Pali word that translates to loving kindness, or that's one of the translations. And it is told to us that it originated as a result of the Buddha sending monks into the forest lands to find a tree to meditate under and stay there until they got enlightened. And what happened was that these monks came back and said, "We are terrified. We're afraid of forest beasts. We are afraid of evil spirits. We are afraid of demons. We are in fear." And the Buddha, in response, in compassion, put together this practice of loving kindness, the goal of which, as a first stage, was to immerse the monks in thoughts of protectiveness and safety. And yet, as important as that was, it was, after all, dealing with their presenting crisis. Where that leads is that it's a doorway into the opening of the heart. Because while we're in fear, while we are terrified, while we are feeling coerced and pressured, we're in a defensive mode, and understandably so. So, connecting to a sense of protectedness, cultivating it off and offering it to others, is a practice, but it's really a gateway into the opening of the heart, which is what metta is about in a larger sense. And this issue of the open heart, what does this mean in comparison, for example, to the open mind or mind? In our society, in many societies, we tend to differentiate between mind and heart. The Buddha, that's an artificial distinction. Mind-heart is really one construct in the Buddhist reference. But in our society, we've taken what to the Buddha is an integrated whole, and we've said, okay, but there's two components here. And it's worth taking just a minute or two to look at the nature of the two components. The mind, which we are preoccupied with a lot, is basically an organ of grasping. Not only in the sense that we grasp after things we like and try to hold and you know, keep them, but even in the framing of thoughts about what it means to understand, to achieve understanding, we talk about that in terms of grasp. I have a grasp of that fact or that theory. There's this wonderful line from the Tudors, which I think actually came from the Tudor period, where someone was dissing some politician who had more power than he had understanding of how to use that power. And the line was that so-and-so's reach exceeds his grasp, which is just a lovely phrase, because obviously reaching and grasping have the same quality, but what they're talking about in the grasping was the understanding. So the nature of the mind is that it grasps and it likes holding and seizing and closing down around things. It likes putting them all in a nice package and then pocketing the package. The heart has a different structure. The heart, in essence, is undistinguishing, and it's indiscriminate in the positive sense. It doesn't say, I have love for you, but you, pooh, that's the mind talking. The heart just opens in all directions, up, down, side, front, back, which makes the mind exceedingly uncomfortable. It's like, you know, the mind of a parent fearing that a child will get into a car with a stranger. That's the, you know, the parent mind is looking at the heart as if it's going to get itself into trouble and, you know, the rest of us with it. So the mind tries to, quote unquote, protect the heart by encapsulating it. And it opens up little, you know, it says, okay, if you want to love this person safe to love, don't love these people. These are not the safe people to love. So it basically has this, you know, this encapsulating grasp, and then it opens up a little crevice and a little bit of love sneaks out. Now, the problem with that is that, well, there's a lot of problems with it, but the same opening that allows love to flow out allows love to flow in. So the mind brings to its understanding this whole sense of economics, where if I give things away, why, I have nothing left when I'm done. But the heart operates on a different set of economics. It's open to give, and it's open to receive. And among the things we hope to achieve in a setting like this at a retreat, where we calm the mind through concentration and establish stability and you know, and an understanding that we're safe and protected, is that the mind opens up. It relinquishes its grip, and the heart gets to open up and breathe. It breathes out, it breathes in, just like the lungs. Listen to the Metta Sutta. This is the Buddha's teaching on loving kindness. And you'll hear in this a beginning recognition of the importance of sila, or morality, the discipline and conduct aspect, which also comforts and stills the mind and allows it to be trusting in order to open. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who would know the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and wise and calm and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing, in gladness and in safety. May all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none. The great or the mighty, medium, short, or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so, with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So when we practice metta, the practice itself is somewhat smaller than this teaching. How could it not be? This is a huge and vast teaching. And because the practice works with the mind, and because mind holds only one object in awareness at a time, what you'll see in this practice is that we look to ourselves and to other people in our lives and offer them a set of expressions, kind of a mantra or a progression of mantra-like phrases that point us in the direction of the opening of the heart, of promoting a sense of safety, a sense of well-being, a sense of ease, a sense of joy. And we do it pointing it at one person at a time, or one category of people at a time, because that's the way mind works. But what it's doing in a larger sense is saying, we can do it here, we can do it here, we can do it here, here, and here. So maybe we begin to get the idea that we can do it everywhere. And that's the ultimate goal of this practice, is to present ourselves in little pieces with everything and come to an openness with everything. Got it? It's, you know, people react to this as if it's sometimes a small practice because these phrases sound comforting with a kind of there quality. And that can seem superficial. But when a person is in pain, what more can we do than be compassionate and comforting to them? And from that point of compassion and an emerging sense of protectedness and safety, the heart opens. That's where we're going. So, I'm going to take you through this practice. There will be a series of statements that have, well, they all have this flavor, may I or may you. So there's this sort of quality of almost a prayer-like quality to it. But it's really just a saying, may I point my mind in this direction and investigate what opening in this direction would look like. And I'll there's a very simple set of phrases which you can build upon however you like. I have a slightly expanded set of them which I'm going to recite first to you, and then I'll do the simple set. And the idea is that you'll be able to hold the simple set in your mind and repeat them to yourself. So what we do in this practice is we begin, sometimes you begin by offering these metta phrases to yourself, sometimes with a loved one or a person who's been a benefactor. I'm going to start with the benefactor because many of us have difficulty opening to ourselves. We are our own harshest critics. We are our own angry parent, so to speak. So, but many of us know that there have been people in our lives who have been a blessing to us, and we find it relatively effortless to wish these thoughts to them. So we'll start there, then we'll look at the self, and then we'll look at categories of others in our lives. You may find that when we get to some of these, some resistance will arise. That's the mind doing its best to protect you, given its immersion in various categories of fear. So these tell you where future work can be done with great benefit to you. So when we, you know, if we think about how you work with people you consider difficult in your lives, and if you say, well, I don't want to think anything nice in their direction, what does that mean? What that means is that at least with them, you're all closed off. So nothing positive can come into you because you're not willing to let anything positive go out, at least in that direction. So if you can soften that, if you can experiment with opening and just see what happens, see how it feels, verify things in your own experience. Okay, said a lot. All right, let's try the actual practice. So come into your meditation posture and find that relationship to your body that's awake and present and at the same time relaxed as best as you can achieve. And I'll ask you to bring to mind a person from your life, from your actual life, not a theoretical person, a person who has been very good to you, for whom you feel gratitude and respect, a person who was a real blessing in your life, someone who was there at the right time, at the right place, with the right offering of caring, a benefactor. For this person, simply be aware of these thoughts. I'll describe these phrases, and I just invite you to open to them. Allow your mind to follow the path that the phrase suggests. May this person be filled with loving kindness. So you might ask yourself, what does being filled with loving kindness do? How does it feel? How does it affect a person's outlook, a person's behavior? May I be filled with loving kindness. Or may you be well, healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be safe and protected from all harm. May all your actions be free of harm. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy I'll say these again in a slightly simpler formulation. And when I'm done, I simply invite you to repeat these to yourself or simply be inspired by them until there are other instructions. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be healthy and strong. Sorry. You. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well, healthy and strong. May you be safe and protected. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And now I'd like you to bring to mind yourself. Think of yourself and wish for yourself. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May I be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. And may I bring no harm to anyone. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be healthy and strong. May I be safe and protected. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. Now I'd like you to bring to mind a person for whom you feel a kind of neutrality, perhaps someone you don't know very well, someone you bump into from time to time, a checkout person at a supermarket, someone in the office or school. Think of all the people around us who we just barely know and yet are constantly bumping into. So pick this person, bring his or her face to mind, this person we don't really know, but understand they have the same needs for loving kindness, compassion, joy, and understanding that all of us have, including you. And so for this person too, we can open our heart and think, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well, healthy, and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be safe and protected from all harm. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be healthy and strong. May you be safe and protected. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And now I'll ask you to bring to mind a person you know well and have experienced conflict, a person who's been a source of difficulty in your life, someone toward whom you feel perhaps a sense of lack of forgiveness, someone with whom you're angry or fearful. The challenge here is to understand this person shares the same humanity we share, with the same need for loving kindness in his or her life, the same need for safety and protectedness, same need for peace and ease. And in fact, understand that if this person was filled with these feelings of comfort, how differently they may act, how differently we may be free to act in response to them. So with this difficult person in mind, you can offer these thoughts. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. And may you bring harm to no one. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be healthy and strong. May you be safe and protected. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And now, as a, a final heart-opening challenge. I'll ask you to bring to mind all beings everywhere, great and small, in all conditions and states. All beings everywhere. And on behalf of them, and on behalf of yourself, we can wish, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be safe and protected from all harm. May you bring harm to no one. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may all beings everywhere be happy. May suffering ones be suffering free. May the fear-struck fearless be. May the grieving shed all grief. May all beings find relief.